Testing, testing. This is D.W. Calvert speaking. This is February 22nd, George Washington's birthday, 1979. I'm visiting with Dr. George Hyatt, who came here from, from Wisconsin, actually, but after having experience in a number of states a good many years ago and recently retired, as director of the Cooperative Extension Service. George, it's good to have you here, and I appreciate your willingness to share with the record, actually, some of the observations and experiences that you've made. And I would like to begin, if you're willing, by having you say something about yourself. Tell us where you grew up, where you went to school, and how you got started in the field of agricultural extension and teaching.
Thank you, Dean. It's a privilege to be back in the same building with you again. Patterson Hall seems like old times. I was born in Toledo, Ohio, and after a few years, when I was 6 years old, we moved to a small farm in Michigan. My father actually was an engineer. We lived there for several years, but I had the good fortune of going to high school back in Toledo, where we had a large high school. From there, we developed a small dairy farm with Jersey cattle. This is where I grew up, basically, was on this farm with this small herd of Jerseys, and about an 80-acre farm. And I came into the Depression in the early 30s and had to stay out of school a year before I started my college career, which was at Michigan State. And I went there 1 year and then had to stay out another year because of the Depression.
How'd you happen to go to Michigan State?
Well, I guess it was because they had a good football team, Dean. The question was whether to go to Ohio State or Michigan State, but my brother preceded me at Michigan State, and I'd gotten acquainted with quite a number of the people at Michigan State, some of the specialists and county agents, in fact, and 4-H agents while I was in the home county.
Did you know you wanted to study agriculture when you went
yes,
there?
Yes, I knew I wanted to study agriculture, and I particularly wanted to study dairy. And that's what I did.
And that interest grew when you had your Jersey farm.
That's right. Home. That's right. I developed a keen interest in the dairy business, and so I went to Michigan State and majored in dairy production.
Majored in dairy production.
And I graduated there in 1937. This was, as you know, in kind of Depression years. I majored in dairy production. I also gathered up together at the same time a certificate for teaching vocational agriculture, which I really was not very much interested in. My first job was with the Detroit Department of Health as a country milk inspector. And this was an interesting job because we had to inspect an area of Michigan that primarily was the cream source in the city of Detroit, which had never been inspected before. And so we got on a lot of new farms fairly well up in Michigan, and I did a lot of traveling. Of course, I was out the entire week each week. So this was an interesting experience while I was in Detroit.
I'm sure you do not know this, but I had a part-time job as a inspector when I was at Brevard, inspecting two dairies in Transylvania.
Two dairies.
For the health department.
I see. Well, I knew this wasn't the kind of work I really wanted to do. I was interested first in going on and getting my master's degree, and so the opportunity came in 1939 to go to Rutgers University, and this was through the efforts of one of my old professors at Michigan State, Dr. George Taylor.
Great friend of yours,
who was in dairy production at Michigan State and had moved to the Rutgers campus as an extension dairyman. And So he let me know when there was a fellowship available at Rutgers University, and my wife and I went out to New Jersey in the fall of 1939 to start taking a master's degree, and I was stationed at the Walker Gordon Laboratories at Plainsboro, New Jersey, rather than at New Brunswick, which was a tremendous experience because they were milking about 2,000 cows at the time, three times a day, and I was stationed there to do some work and also to work on my master's program at that place.
That was probably one of the outstanding dairies in the United States at that time, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. In this concept of the milking, the Walker Gordon milking procedure, is now, right now, being adapted in many places and has been around the world. Mr. Jeffers, who developed this concept of milking, was really a world leader in projecting new ideas. The milk was sold as certified milk in the hospitals in New York and Philadelphia. And as I say, it was at the same time as the World's Fair. This is when I had the chance to get acquainted with Jim Cavanaugh, Executive Secretary of the American Jersey Cattle Club, and some of the other people of note, because I spent part of my time at the World's Fair. The cattle came into Walker Gordon, the five different breeds of cattle that were selected to be on demonstration there, and they came into Walker Gordon first, and then we had the care of them for a while, and then we took them to the World's Fair in New York and helped to look at them some of the time.
That is, were you and Jim Cavanaugh working together on this?
No, we didn't work together, but Jim was actually at the fair. I was at Walker Gordon, where the cattle initially came. We didn't work together, but this is where we got acquainted with each other. of course, the opportunity to be around 2,000 cows and full-time veterinarians and the latest in research, and also at Rutgers University, I considered it a real privilege to get acquainted with Enos Perry, who really was considered to be the father of artificial insemination in this country. I mean, he went over to, I believe this is correct.
He was the man who promoted the first practical
right.
artificial breeding program with dairy cattle in the United States.
That's right. And he was an extension dairyman at Rutgers, and Dr. Bartlett was head of the department at that time, and my particular chairman of my graduate committee was Carl Bender, who was
I also knew.
That you also knew. So I spent 2 years at Rutgers, and I guess my first official job in any university was when West Virginia University invited me to come there to serve as assistant extension dairyman with Mr. Jerry Hebank and H.O. Henderson as head of the department. So I went there I believe July 1st of 1941.
And how long were you there?
I was there 2 years as assistant extension dairyman, and I might say at that time I got acquainted with a young man that's been on this campus for many years, Dr. I.D. Porterfield. I.D. was there on the campus at that time, and during the period I was there, he was hired by Dr. Kenneth Turk at the University of Maryland to serve as herdsman and one of their instructors at the University of Maryland. And after 2 years at West Virginia University, Dr. Turk invited me to join the staff at the University of Maryland as an extension dairyman. And my first job at Maryland, actually, that I was assigned was to organize and get into operation a DHIA organization units in the state of Maryland. There was nothing but advanced registry testing going on at that time, Mr. Barker. And so my next 2.5 years were, 3.5 years, were spent on the University of Maryland campus as an extension dairyman. And here's where we got better acquainted with the Porterfields, and incidentally, my wife and I attended the wedding of Dr. Porterfield and his wife while we were on the campus at the University of Maryland. During that time, he was invited back to West Virginia University to accept a position back there in a, you know, somewhat different role while I was at Maryland. Well, Dr. Turk, who I was very fond of, left the University of Maryland and went back to Cornell, from which he'd come to head up the Animal Science Department, I believe that was the name of it at that time at Cornell. And Dr. Gordon Cairns came in from the University of Maine to head up the department there. And in 1940...
To head up the department in Maryland.
Maryland, right. And then I was invited back to West Virginia University when G.A. Bowling, who had headed up the research in dairy cattle breeding at West Virginia University for many years, left to go to Strathglass Farm and to be their manager in New York. And
how do you spell Strathglass?
Strathglass. Strathglass.
Strathglass. Yes.
This was one of the most outstanding Ayrshire herds in the United States. Strathglass Farms, and at West Virginia University we also had a very outstanding herd of cattle known as Raymond Memorial Herd, and that's spelled R-E-Y-M-A-N-N. And it was my good fortune to go back there in charge of this herd of cattle, their dairy cattle breeding work, to do some teaching and do some research at West Virginia University. And here again, we got involved with Dr. Porterfield because Dr. Porterfield was taking an advanced degree there at that time, and another man on our campus that now heads up our dairy extension work here on the campus was my graduate student, Guy Parsons, who's the specialist in charge. Now, I might also say, Dean, that and something I should have included here was that one of my other opportunities while in Maryland was to get acquainted with Marvin Singer, who, as you recall, you brought here to North Carolina State.
On your recommendation.
My recommendation was it to eventually head up the DHI work in this state. And I think he came here in about 1950, somewhere in that area.
Well, now you finished your you went back to West Virginia from Maryland, and how long were you there in your newer responsibility, the research?
5 years.
Teaching.
5 years, and I had a combination teaching research job, which oversaw the breeding experiment with the farm operation, and taught a course in dairy cattle breeds, and another seminar course.
So at West Virginia, you had a total of about 7 years involving extension, farm management, research, and teaching.
And teaching, that's right.
Which, coupled with your experiences at Walker Garden and Maryland and other ways, and Rutgers, made a very rich background in dairying. Then you left West Virginia when?
In 1951. Yes, went to Hord's Dairyman, Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. Bill Knox, who was editor of Hord's Dairyman, convinced me that this was a fine opportunity to go out to Hord's and be their farm manager and editorial advisor. I had known Bill in college. He also was a graduate of Michigan State, and so we went out to Wisconsin in the summer of 1951.
Well, I guess this is about the time that I had become reasonably well acquainted with you, and I don't know of any way to conduct this conversation without having a certain personal involvement in it. I've tried to be impersonal in these recordings, but I do remember my first real session with you, and it happened to include two of the people whom you have mentioned, Jim Cavanaugh and Bill Knox. If I remember correctly, it was in Chicago when we were having coffee together, and one of the questions that I raised at that time was, where in the United States was there a relatively young man, well-informed in all aspects of dairying, with particular capability and extension work, who might be considered as a successor to John Airey, who had been here for so long. Do you recall that conversation?
Yes, I do. And I recall another occasion. I was working with the American Jersey Cattle Club to become an official classifier. Yes. And I recall you attended some of those sessions also.
One in New Jersey.
One in New Jersey. And it seemed to me you and I rode on the train together somewhere, but I can't remember just where. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I got acquainted with you through those sessions as well as that time we met together in Chicago.
Well, I guess it was a source of some satisfaction, actually, when out of the conversation we had about a possible successor to John Airey, I learned later from you that, perhaps in a letter that you wrote, that your outlook at Hordes Dairymen was not as challenging as you had hoped it might be. Was that basically it?
That's correct. My understanding with Mr. Horde, who was still owner and the head man at Hordes Dairymen, he and I just didn't quite get together on what I saw as the role I was to play when I went there and the role he saw that I should play. And it seemed to me at that time, Dean, that it would be wise on my part if this was not to work out. The big decision I had to make originally was to leave college work, which I loved, and not to remain out too long, and then desire to get back. It seemed wise for me at that time to look at some opportunities to come back into college work if those were possible. I might add another point too. While I was at West Virginia University, I had a number of chances to leave to go to some other states, as in one or two states particularly as head of the department, but I chose not to because I thought that I wanted to go somewhere eventually where the opportunity for growth in dairying and livestock totally was really something that could be looked forward to. And one of the states that I might mention was Rhode Island, which was a nice state, but you wouldn't expect to see much growth in the dairy industry there. But when I began to visit with you a little bit about North Carolina, it just seemed to me that this was an area of the country that had great potential.
Well, I think this is interesting in a number of ways, at least it was to me, and we'll get back to the main substance of it in a moment. But one of the things that caused me to be in conversation with you and with Bill Knox and with Jim Cavanaugh was that insofar as I was able to determine, here were three men not too far from my own age, perhaps a little younger, but about not too far from my age, whom I regarded as people with bright outlooks on dairying, people willing to face problems but to see possibilities. And when I inquired of the three of you about a person who might come into North Carolina, I was not at that moment thinking of either one of you.
Yes.
At all. And so you can imagine how pleased I was, although I regretted that Hordes hadn't been what you had hoped it might be in terms of personal fulfillment. I felt that experience at Hordes had been really another great experience in your career.
Tremendous. I wouldn't take anything for the experience I had at Hordes there.
And so when I learned that you might be willing to consider moving, I didn't let very much grass grow under my feet, frankly, George, because I said, well, golly, we may be into something here that's going to be good if we can just offer this fellow something that's attractive to him.
Well, I remember, I think while I was at West Virginia, I was invited down to to North Carolina to judge at the state fair one year. This was while I was still at West Virginia University. And I was very impressed then, and that was my first visit to North Carolina. And so a little seed had been sown then as far as my interest in North Carolina per se was concerned.
Well, I think it's probably worth recording here another aspect of the development of the program and the School of Agriculture at NC State about that time, because the Dairy Foundation, which had been developed, had begun to play a rather important role in helping us to rise above ourselves, in a sense, and go after the people in the country whom we thought were best suited to the job. And I talked with the directors of the Dairy Foundation and asked them if they would be willing to consider putting up the salary for a person for a full year before Mr. Area's retirement, in order that a much younger person might also have the benefit of direct experience with a man who had been in Dairy Extension almost from the very beginning here. And when the Dairy Foundation told me that they would be glad to do that, I came back to you and said, would you be interested in considering coming here for a year before Mr. Airy retires? And to make a long story short, you agreed to do it. But there is a little story that I think I should put in here, that I wanted our people to be solidly behind you, and I also had the problem of being sure that they felt the money they were putting up was a good expenditure. So we connived a little bit and got you to be the speaker on our dairy program here, and had a lot of spies in the audience making reports on you.
I realized after it was all over what had happened, Dean, I didn't know what was going on when I looked out in the audience and there was the director of Extension, Mr. Weaver, there, and I thought, gee, this is interesting.
Well, Dave Weaver was there, and W.W. Fitzpatrick.
And Lee Meredith.
And Lee Meredith were three of them. And Mose Kaiser was involved in it.
Great, great group of people.
And I'll get away from the personal side of it in a moment, but after that was over, I asked Fitzpatrick, Fitz, what do you think of our man? Fitz said, he's more than good. Let's get him. And, well, to make a long story short, that's when we began to negotiate seriously, and when you came. But let's take up from that point now and tell us something about your motivation to respond to this invitation and carry that forward to some extent.
Well, two or three things that I think bear on my coming here, Dean, was one, I had been down here for a visit, and I was impressed with the state, and I was impressed with who you had here as Dean of Agriculture. I was impressed with you as an individual and as administrator, and the possibilities in North Carolina's growth, not just in dairying, but the possibilities in broad growth in all the livestock area, which has happened.
Let's record here for the moment. This was while Dean J.H. Hilton was Dean of Agriculture, while I was Chairman of the Department of Animal Industry.
Animal Industry, that's right. And then when I came down to make that talk to your Winter Dairy Conference, I was again impressed with the kind of people you had. I remember one of the addresses given by Lee Meredith, a very practical dairyman, and the tenor of your program and the interest in it. And of course, I was very much really excited. It didn't bother me any that you made the proposition of putting me on Dairy Foundation funds for a year, because I just thought that was great. I still think that these foundations, and particularly the Dairy Foundation, which is voluntary, has meant so much, and the opportunity to work with Mr. Airy for a year motivated me too, because he treated me just superbly during that year. He gave me every opportunity to learn every facet of the dairy industry in the state. He gave me a lot of good advice, and he put me in a position where, when I was named specialist in charge, that I felt I was much more prepared than if I'd come in without that opportunity. But I can't say enough about the people that were here, you and Dean Hilton, and the people I met while I was here, John Airey himself. The fact that Marvin Singer had come to the staff was important. I got acquainted with Edley Gates at the same time. This was already a strong department in every respect. So those are the kinds of things that motivated me.
Now, Marvin and Dr. Legates were both here when you came, weren't they?
Yes, Marvin came here, I think, in 1950. Dr. Legates before that. And then I got acquainted with Dr. Bill Roberts, who came here in 1942 or 43. And this was a strong department. And Dr. George Wise, who I had known all through my career, reading his papers. And then I'll have to admit that in talking with people like Bill Knox and Jim Cavanaugh and these kind of people that I had a lot of respect for, just felt like North Carolina was on the edge of becoming one of the great livestock states.
Well, this is a part of the drama that both of us have been through, and I think it's important to be understood as such, because it was an exciting adventure.
And of course, I can honestly say this too, Dean, that Raleigh was an attractive town to Virginia and I. We lived in Morgantown, which was not an attractive town, and a lot of attractive people, and this was an attractive town. We had three boys at the time, and it looked like a good place to raise these boys, too.
Well, then you came in for a year with Mr. Airey.
1952.
In 52, and then following his retirement, did he retire in 53?
He retired in 53.
And according to the plan which had been projected,
that's right,
you became the specialist in charge of dairy extension programs.
July of 1953.
Okay, let's take up at that point now and follow through some of the activities that you were in that position, and lead on into the other positions that you
have. Okay. Well, I think the next 3 or 4 years was one of the really exciting times in the dairy industry in North Carolina, because this is where we went through probably our biggest growth period as far as numbers of grade A dairymen. As you recall, during that period they moved up very rapidly, got up over 5,000 in number, and we were deeply involved in the dairy work. Marvin Singer was doing a tremendous job with the DHIA program. I got well acquainted with Dean Legates, with Dr. Legates, and his program in animal breeding, dairy cattle breeding. And so the program for the next 4 or 5 years, until I left to go away to school for a year, moved swiftly with a lot of growth. And again, during this period of time, one of the things that impressed me the most was the willingness of the people in North Carolina to support an organization like the Dairy Foundation, and continue to support the faculty and staff. And believe you me, this is a two-way proposition. The faculty feel this support, and they do a better job because of it. And even though this is a small amount compared with the total budget, it did maintain staff. During this period of time, you left us to become Dean of Agriculture, I believe in 53. So I didn't have the opportunity to work with you in the animal industry department very long, Dean, before you went up to Patterson Hall, where we are today. And then during this period of time, you brought in Dr. Joe Pugh as head of the animal industry department, who came to us from University of Maryland, where he was head of the department there, and was a, I believe, an Iredell County native.
Right.
And this was a very excellent selection too, because Dr. Pugh was well known in this state originally as a county agent, and a tremendous man for capacity and ability to get along with people and support staff and give us plenty of opportunity to make progress of our own. So I look at those 5 years in there as wonderful years, Dean, from my personal standpoint, because everything was moving rapidly, and the growth in the industry was great. The people in the state were supporting us, and I was extremely happy here with the Total University, and I might add that with you as Dean of Agriculture, it was great.
Well, you became interested in going back to do your doctoral work.
Right.
Did you do that while you were still their extension leader?
Yes. And again, you changed the, Dean, you changed the course of my life, because I had spent about 3 years trying to learn German, and decided that when George Trimberger of Cornell was going to take a year's leave,